About a dozen times a year, the volunteers at Valley Search and Rescue hop in a fleet of vehicles and head out to the wilds of Kings County. Thanks to a grant from Kings County Council, those vehicles will soon have a garage to shelter them when they're not being used. But the organization says more support is needed for groups that carry out wilderness rescues. Ashley Perry is the president of Valley Search and Rescue.
Good morning, Mr. Perry.
Good morning, Don. How are you?
I'm well, thank you very much. Give us an idea of what your mandate is.
So we are the resource in Kings County if someone goes lost or if they're injured in a wilderness setting, basically, as well as assisting neighboring counties or anywhere in the province, really, when other teams require assistance. We also perform evidence searches for the RCMP. We do public education and children's woods proofing, things like that. And we're also a resource in a civil emergency if extra manpower or equipment's needed.
Generally speaking, how is it funded? How's the group funded?
We receive a small amount of money from the province. So we get about $3,000 a year from the province, and they pay for some insurance and WCB for us. We get the bulk of our operating budget from the county. Fortunately for us, it's not, there's no standardized system across the province. So that's our relationship with our county, which we are very lucky to have. And the rest of it's fundraising and donations. So the county gave us $49,000 this year, and our operating budget's about $70,000, but that leaves no funding for capital, really.
And capital has to do with maintaining, acquiring and maintaining equipment, amongst other things.
That's right. That's all of our vehicles, our major radio systems, buildings, things like that, yeah.
How many vehicles do you operate?
So we have a command vehicle, and we which is a retired school bus that we've converted over to a command structure. And we have a truck and a long trailer with two amphibious vehicles on board. And then we have a logistics support vehicle as well.
Are they fairly up to speed, or are some of them in need of maybe replacement, if not repair?
Well, the problem, Don, is that we get equipment or vehicle, well, vehicles, I'll say, toward the end of their service life or past the end of their service life, which is just one of the things that made having a garage so vitally important, is that we get things at this point in their service career, and then we leave them sitting outside most of the time because we only use them for searches and training, and that's not every day, right? So generally, our current logistics vehicle is an ambulance, and I took it to a show and shine with some other emergency professionals, and they were treating it like a museum piece. They're like, you remember these? And they're all coming over to look at it, right?
Yeah. And at this stage of the game, are you looking not only to have a garage to put your vehicles in, but are you looking for a way to maybe replace the ambulance with something maybe a little more modern and a little less antique car?
Well, yeah, absolutely. So the garage has been our primary focus for quite a number of years, and it was a lot of years' work to get to the point where we could fund it, actually. And as we did very well with the money from the county, but we also fundraised $60,000 ourselves towards it. So there's a lot of time and work that went into that. Now that we've accomplished that and we have at least a basic structure up or going up, then we need to look at the vehicles. And basically the entire fleet will need to be replaced within the next, 2 to 5 years.
Have you ever had an occasion where the equipment or lack thereof impeded an operation which ordinarily would fall under your mandate?
We've been very fortunate. Not to say we haven't had equipment break down, but it's been at the end of the search when we're trying to get home, which is not nearly as crucial. It's quite disappointing after being out for 12 or 24 hours to now have to call a tow truck, though.
Have to call yourself.
Yeah.
Call Valley Search and Rescue. Yeah. They'll help you.
Yeah, that's right.
So to replace, let's say, whether it's 2 to 5 years, replacing vehicles like that, that's an expensive operation. How do you go about raising that money?
Well, Don, that's kind of the question mark right now. We did very well with the funding for the building, so we're hoping to continue to work on that relationship with the county and maybe make some inroads there in terms of vehicles as well. There's only so much that we can personally fundraise. I was looking at the hours before you and I started talking, and in the last year, we put in 3,000 hours in fundraising, right? We only, I shouldn't say only, but we put 5,000 hours into training. So at some point, the fundraising almost eclipses the training, and you're burning people out trying to work so hard to raise all that money, when really you should be focusing on emergency response, right?
Is the situation unique to to the Valley, Ashley, or is this something that you hear from other groups comparable to your own around the province?
This is basically a situation right across the province. You know, if you think about search and rescue, or if you know anything about it to even think about it, we go out typically at night. We don't have alarms and sirens. People don't really see us. They don't really even sometimes know we exist until they need us. And people think it's a police service or it's a military service or something like that. And it's volunteer right across the board. And we're one of the more fortunate teams. Some of the teams get no funding from their county and they get nothing from the towns. Some teams don't have a building. They don't even have a base. They have to store all their equipment at different members' houses. So this is kind of a problem right across the whole province, yeah.
The thing, if you were to stand down, let's just talk about your group in the Valley. If you were to stand down and say, because of funding restrictions, because of the state of our equipment, we don't think we can do the job right, and if we can't do it right, we don't want to do it at all, you're going to have to download those responsibilities that you currently have onto municipal police forces, the RCMP, EMO. So it would create a genuine gap in services in the Valley or elsewhere.
Well, and I think that's the thing that, you know, is being recognized in our county, more so than maybe some others, is that, you know, they're depending on us to keep tourists from dying in the woods and things like this. But, you know, there has to be, you have to kind of put your money where your mouth is, or support that service that you do require, because it is a required service and there is no one else to provide it. The problem, you know, with the scenario that you're talking about, is if you take the number of man hours, and it was something in the neighborhood of 15,000 hours that we put in last year. So you put a dollar value on that, that's like almost $500,000 just in time, not even equipment, right?
Ashley, it was good to talk to you this morning. Good luck.
Well, thanks very much, Don. It was great talking with you, too.
Nice to talk to you. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.